He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and author of my newest book, God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. I'm so glad that you could join with us on today's program. As we go through this series, His Promised Grace, I know that you will discover that God's grace has allowed you to live the abundant life here on this earth as you walk in Jesus Christ. As you listen to the series, you will understand that the abundant life is more than finances, it's more than cars, it's more than houses, it's much more than any of that. It is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ that allows us to walk in His abundance with joy in our heart, knowing that God is in control of these troubled times. Now let's listen to the message, His Promised Grace. In this message, I want you to ask yourself, do you believe God? You know, a lot of people say they believe in God. And in fact, most of America would say they believe in God. In fact, I know some people who say, oh, I believe in God more than a lot of people believe in God. Yes, okay, great, you believe in God. You believe in a God. Do you believe in the God? In fact, do you believe God? Do you believe when God tells you something, it's going to happen? No matter what it looks like, no matter what's happening around the world, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what's happening in your finances, no matter what's happening in your healing, no matter what's happening in your relationships, no matter what's going on around you in your life, do you believe God? Do you believe that if you pray and ask God that He will answer your prayer and it will be done because He said it would be done? Well, today we're going to look at Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. Do you believe what God has told you? What has God told you? In fact, have you even asked God? Have you prayed to God? Have you petitioned God to see what He might have for you in your life? These are troubled times, brothers and sisters. These are troubled times. These are times that we must prepare. These are times that we must get ready for what is coming. The world is in turmoil. The world is at war. Finances are at war. The economy is at war with itself. It's being propped up. It's being held up. It's being done by man. It's not natural what's going on right now. Do you believe God? Do you believe that even in these troubled times, that because you are on God's side, I was going to say because God is on your side, but that's not true. You don't want God on your side. If God's on my side, I'm a mess. I need to be on God's side. I need to step from where I am, go over to Him and say, God, I'm over here for Your protection, rather than expecting Him to come over to my side. So, if you are on God's side, God has promised that He will take care of us. Maybe that taking care of may not be to your liking. God doesn't say it has to be to your liking. He says He will take care of you. Have you asked God about your vision? Have you asked God to have a vision for your life? Many times I've asked God, okay, God, why did You choose to bring me into the ministry? Isn't there anyone else better suited? And I can answer that question. Yes, there is. There are those that I know are better suited for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Isn't there anyone better suited than I am to preach the gospel? Yes, there is. But better suited is not the point. Being available to God is what is important. It's not a matter of if you are the best for the job. If the person who is the best for the job will not do the job, then you are better suited and you are God's chosen one to do the job. He wants people who will work with him to spread his gospel of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 29:18 says, people without vision will perish. So what is your vision? Do you have a vision? If you don't have a vision, then you are in jeopardy. You are going to perish. You are not going to be prepared. You are not going to be ready for what is coming your way, good or bad. First, through God's grace, His Spirit has been revealed to us. He will reveal Himself to you, and all you have to do is ask and listen. Ephesians 3, 1 through 6 says, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. We are heirs to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We have been chosen. Like Israel, we are now the chosen ones. Why have you been chosen? What makes you so special? Well, you've been chosen because you have accepted the message of Jesus Christ. And maybe I might ought to ask, have you been chosen? Have you accepted the message of Jesus Christ? Have you accepted that Jesus is the only way? Have you accepted that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ? Have you accepted that message? The world today would have us to believe that there are many roads to the top of the mountain. They would have us to believe that it does not matter who you believe in as long as you believe sincerely. There are going to be a lot of sincere people in hell. They have been deceived sincerely by the king of liars, the devil. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? There is only one way to come to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Second, we are servants of the gospel. You are a servant. Ephesians 3, 7 through 9 says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. I became a servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a willing servant, not the slave that is beaten down and beaten and trodden, but a servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a servant to God willingly, sharing His love with others, because I know that my servitude to God is what's best for me. I know that it's what's best for my family. And in fact, in that servitude, God gives me freedom. He gives me freedom to live the abundant life. He gives me freedom to live in joy. He gives me freedom to have tears of joy. He gives me freedom to talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When is the last time you talked to President Obama? When is the last time you talked to any king or any president or any leader? And of course, okay, there may be somebody that's listening to this message that's saying, oh, well, I do it all the time. Well, okay. But the average person cannot just walk into the president's office and sit down and talk to him. And the average person cannot walk into God and sit down and talk to him either. Oh, I know that somebody out there is probably already shocked. They're sitting, now, wait a minute now, Rick. Yeah, well, let me finish. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are above average. You are joint heirs with Jesus. We are sons and daughters of the King. And we can walk up to God. We can talk to God anytime we want to through the power of the Holy Spirit that is given to us in Jesus Christ. So we have that power to be able to speak to the Lord of the universe, who is bigger than any king we could ever have imagined. We have that authority to walk and talk to God anytime that we wish. The wisdom of God is made known through the church. Ephesians 3:10-13. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In faith and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. And in fact, I think we can extend that one more time. This was Paul saying, look, I ask you, don't be discouraged because I'm suffering. Now I'm going to say, don't be discouraged because you are suffering. Perhaps the sufferings that you are going through right now are preparing you for what is coming up. There are those who have never suffered in their life, and they will not be ready, they will not be prepared for these days that are ahead of us. But those of us who have suffered, those of us who have gone through trials and tribulations, will be able to withstand what the world throws at us, what Satan throws at us. As we stand for Jesus Christ, as we are servants for God to proclaim the gospel of Christ, we can have freedom and confidence. And then Paul, he says, I ask you not to be discouraged. And I'm asking you to think the same thing. Do not be discouraged. Which is your glory. Not to be discouraged, because we can stand in Jesus Christ and know that we are the victor. If we're doing our job, the principalities and the powers are sure to take notice. That means if you are suffering right now, that is probably most likely because the principalities and powers see you as a threat. They will come against you because you are a threat. And in the average person, they will just leave alone because there's no need to bother with them if they're not doing anything. But those of us who are standing for God, the principalities and powers take notice. Jerry Falwell said, I don't believe you can be a victorious Christian without often stepping out on faith and constantly attempting greater things for God than you can humanly accomplish unless God intervenes. What are you stepping out for that cannot be accomplished unless God intervenes? Are you stepping out for anything? Or are you just sitting back and letting it happen? Are you doing anything for God that could not possibly be done unless God intervenes? You know, many years ago when I started this radio broadcast, it was my desire to spread the gospel around the world. I didn't see how I could do that. It takes money. It takes a lot of things to be able to do that. And now, through this broadcast, I am able to speak to people around the world. I get emails from people all over the world, from Germany, from Italy, from Spain, from Russia, from China, from Afghanistan, from Argentina, Venezuela, Brazil, from all over the United States, virtually every state in the Union. I get emails from telling me how this program has changed their life or how they have been blessed because of my radio program. My dream has come true because I chose to step out, not even knowing what can happen. This broadcast started in a small little town in Texas, in Rockdale, Texas. It started in a little small town. And it reached, I don't know how many it reached, probably a few hundred. I mean, there's several thousand in that community, but I don't know how many were listening to me on a Sunday morning. So my vision started with a small little town, and now it has grown to worldwide ministry where I'm speaking to all people all over the world. That's exciting. What are you doing that you can step out for God and trust Him to be able to do what He has asked you to do, where it can only happen if He intervenes? It's nothing that you can do. I don't talk about how much money you need or anything else. I don't have a lot of money. I have very little money, as a matter of fact. But I'm still able to accomplish this through God's power, because He has allowed me to be able to reach people for Jesus Christ through His power. What are you doing today that will reach people for Jesus Christ? That is our job. My job is to prepare you for the ministry. The pastor's job, if you go to a church on a regular basis, and in fact you should, if this is the only broadcast you're listening to about Jesus, you need to get into a local church, someone that can lay hands on you, someone that can minister to you. If you don't like the church you're in, find one that ministers Jesus Christ and get in there and get busy with those people. And spread the gospel. The minister's job is to prepare you to be able to minister. I can't possibly minister to everyone in the world. But that's the way Jesus did His ministry, is He touched one, and then He touched two, and then He touched 12, and then He touched 70. And now He has touched billions that have changed lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we accomplish growing the church for Christ? We focus on ministry. We focus on discipleship. We focus on spreading the gospel to those people that you come in contact with and starting a relationship with them. And then through that relationship, they understand more about Jesus. And then through that relationship, they're able to make relationships with others that they might be able to train in the ministry of the gospel of Christ to spread His love so that others might be able to come to Him and spend a life in eternity. Have faith. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. You see, so many people are sitting around saying, well, wait a minute, I need to wait till I get this before I can do that. I need to get enough money before I can maybe start a church, or I need to get enough money before I can go on the mission field, or I need to get all of these tools together, or I've got to get all this together. It's all that my ducks have to be in a row before I can start. And I'm saying to you that God says that step out. Take the step. Take the step of faith. Don't be afraid to step out for His glory, to understand that He supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food. Some might be saying, well, Rick, I'm just a common, everyday person. What can I do? That I'm just one person. How can I do anything great for Christ? Perhaps you should tell that to a man named Peter, or a man named Paul, or any others, a man named Billy Graham. There must have been a time when Billy Graham was just a youngster saying, well, I just want to preach, and what can I, you know, do you think he envisioned a worldwide ministry? And maybe he did envision a worldwide ministry, which is maybe why he is Billy Graham. Maybe he is who he is because he had vision and he trusted God and he stepped out on faith. God gives the increase. The problem is that everyone wants to build in their own power. They want to be ready for what they have done. And instead, it needs to be that we must recognize that we have to trust the master builder. We are not the master builder. We are servants for Christ. The master builder tells us to take up a brick and to place it in the wall. And even though we can't see the entire wall, we can see the place that we are at this moment. You need to build what's right in front of you. You need to take those pieces for God and build what's right in front of you until you see something great and mighty and understand that God is the master builder. We are the ones who attend to what God has told us to do right now. What has He told you to do? Has He told you to minister to the person across the street and you haven't done that? Has He told you to join a mission trip with your church and you haven't done that? Rick, I don't have the money. Join the mission trip. Trust God for the money. Trust God to take you on that mission trip. Allow Him to provide what it takes for you to be able to glorify Him and be able to stand and say, look, there's no way that I could have done this without God. He has told us to witness to those around the world and to bring them to Christ. He hasn't told us to sit and wait until we have everything we need. He has told us to just do it and He will supply the needs. What is your vision? What is your vision for your life? What are you going to do this year to ensure that your neighbor spends life with you in eternity? And I don't care if you don't like your neighbor. Maybe that neighbor you don't even like. You know what? All the more reason to pray for them, get to know them. Perhaps you might find that something that you didn't like about them, there's a reason for that. There's a reason that they have to act the way they do. You do not know what their life is because you won't get involved with their life. There were many people who did not like the harlots and the tax collectors and the fishermen that Jesus talked to. They were the dregs of the earth. But Jesus saw God in them. Jesus saw that seed that God placed into every one of us. He saw something different. Look for God in those people across the street that you don't like. Talk to them about Jesus Christ. The more you pray for them, the more you might find that the problem lies with you. As you spend this week, as you spend this day, this week, this very moment, this hour, step out today. Get a vision for God. Write that vision down. Put it before you. Pray about it. Bring it to God. Allow Him to work with you in a miraculous way. Watch your life change for the glory of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining with us on our broadcast of His Gospel Power. I'm excited that you join with us and listen to us daily about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a listener-supported program, and I'm asking that you might prayerfully consider joining with us to spread the gospel around the world. You can do that in many ways. You can either go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. My latest one is God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. All the proceeds of those books go to this program of His Gospel Power. Also, you could go to hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org, and there is a donate section on that website. That is our website here for His Gospel Power. And just go and click on the donate button. If you would prefer to mail your gift, you can just send it to P.O. Box 1569. That's P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And all contributions that we receive are greatly appreciated. You would truly be a blessing to this ministry. I'm excited once again that you have joined with us. And until next time, I pray that you experience His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come and pray. Thank you.
much joy.